most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, your host, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, of course. And if this is your first time tuning in, our show is basically about informative entertainment. And we try to do it for you in a fun, upbeat, energetic way to keep you interested. We know how our attention spans wander these days. So we basically provide you with tips, advice, resource information on how to pursue a career in business, show business. And we do that by having professionals in the entertainment business here for you. These are individuals who are in the industry. They are trained, they're pros, they're stars, they're celebrities, they're our stars and celebrities. And basically that means we're going to have people from a career that you're interested in sooner or later. So whether it's modeling, dancing, acting, singing, you want to be a producer, a director, a fashion stylist, we have all types of people come on the show to give you advice and tips. So if you want to find out who's going to be on our show in the future, you can go to our website directly, and that's questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. And if you want to check out any of our past shows, they're on an archive page on the LA Talk Radio website, and you can read their bios, listen, or download any of our past shows. You go to latalkradio.com, and you click on the Schedule 1 link, and that's at the top of the website. Schedule 1 link. And of course, if you want to call in, we are live. So if you're listening to this now, you only have to go to the homepage and click on Channel 1, and we can take your call live, and you can talk to any guest at all. And we're also on iTunes, so you can check us out on iTunes or Internet Radio. We're everywhere. We try to be everywhere. So again, if you want to call in, please call in between 5:20 and 5:30. That way we can have our guests talk a little bit about themselves, and we don't just bombard them right away. So hopefully you'll call in. Now, we have some great things to talk about today. Before we get to our guest, our guest is the wonderful Cortez Alexander, and I know everybody's excited to hear his little voice. But first, we have to do the dull, boring introduction and announcement. So I want to do some shout-outs. We have people from all over the world who email us and say, oh, I love your show, and we're so happy to hear from them. Two of those individuals are Alan Bryant and Steve Ivey. They're from Dallas, Texas. And Alan Bryant wanted everybody to know that he will be performing at the Dallas Renaissance Festival. And if you go to the Dallas Renaissance Festival, you will see him strolling around, and he is like a total charmer. So you look for a pile of women, he will be there. Just women with heaving breasts, that's where Alan Bryant will be. And I don't know where Steve Ivey will be, but probably with him to get in on the action. But hopefully he'll call in one day and say hello to us. Now, very exciting news for everybody in the entertainment business. Robin Rowe, who most people know if they're in the entertainment business in the film world, is the CEO and founder of ScreenLabPlays.com. And he sent me an email with some great entertainment events that are coming up. One of them is from Tom Malloy. He has a new book out about film finance called Bankroll. And it's a teaching, he's teaching, it's an all-day seminar. And Tom's going to share his insights based on his success raising money as an actor and financing his own films. And now Robin Rowe's business development executive read Bankroll, and he's so excited about this. He was so enthusiastic that he actually is going to go to the seminar himself. And Robin Rowe will be there too if anyone wants to meet him. And basically Tom Malloy is going to talk about creating a business plan, finding investors, how to get the first dollar in for your movie, and all of his experience raising budgets from $550,000 to over $10 million, which is what he's had his films go from $550,000 to $10 million. Now, this is presented by Carol Lee Dean, and she has a company called From the Heart Productions. And the Bankroll Seminar is October the 24th, which is Saturday. It's from 9:30 to 4:30. And it's going to be at the Lost Studio, and that's at 130 South La Brea in Los Angeles. And they're going to have a hot noodle breakfast. It's really, really, really cheap. It's like $79. But if you want to get a 15% screenplay lab discount, use the code GRANT. Like Grant, G-R-A-N-T, Grant. And if you want to find out more about it, please go to the website. It's fromtheheartproductions.com, fromtheheartproductions.com. And they will be able to tell you everything there is to know about that particular project. But Tom Malloy, I'm telling you, if you want to make a film, if you want to do anything with a new project, or if you've made one and it didn't work out and you want to find out how to make it better, go, because I saw the business plan. I saw what he teaches. I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's very easy. It's not complicated. He's very user-friendly. So definitely check it out. Now, ScreenplayLab.com has great opportunities for you to get involved. I know many member projects that need help with development, casting, locations, marketing, production, post-productions. It may not pay anything, but you know what? It's great experience for the right person. So you want to get, if you want to get involved, email Robin Rowe, again, ScreenplayLabs.com. He has tons of opportunities, tons of projects to hook you up with so you can get the experience. These are for people who are novices. It's great to get that to work hands-on. There you go. Now, in the Variety, there's a Variety Entertainment Technology Summit, and that's on October the 19th, okay? It's an all-day conference with panels of television network presidents, the president of ICM, producers, and more. That's going to be at Lowe's Santa Monica, 9 a.m., October the 19th, and you can find out more about that at DigitalHollywood.com, DigitalHollywood.com. And the very last thing, because I know you can't write all this down, you're going to have to listen to the show over and over and over again, but AFM, the American Film Market, November the 4th to 11th, November the 4th to 11th, they host over 400 production companies. They screen over 500 motion pictures, previews, 100 world previews, thousands of new projects, and they're going to be in cooperation with AFI Fest, and that's October 31st to November the 3rd. It's going to have a ton of network, 8,000 industry professionals, seminars from 100 industry leaders, first free seminars, industry access. Go to IFTA-online.org. IF as in Frank, TA-online.org. And don't miss the AFM. There's a pitch, a favorite film pitch, and that's November 7th through 10th, and that's part of the People's Choice Awards. I'm sure everybody's heard about that, but that's, you can find that information out also on the IFTA-online.org. And again, the AFM Finance Conference is on November 6th. So now these announcements, they're compliments of Robin Rowe. He's with Screenplay Lab. .com, and they're based out of Beverly Hills. And Screenplay Lab consists of more than 3,800 writers, producers, actors, directors, representation, and executives, and they're helping each other succeed in television and film. So, you know, if you want to get their free newsletter, you'll get all of these upcoming events. And you can get the newsletter free. So they have Hollywood events, Beverly Hills events. They even have out-of-town events. So you want to send an email to info@screenplaylab.com, and you put the subject subscribe. And you will be able to get all of that information that I just tried to race through to you and get. Now, while we've been on the line, I noticed Jeannie Diva. My friend Jeannie Diva has called in, and unfortunately I could not get her call, and I'm hoping if she's listening, she will call in again, because again, don't call in until 5:20, 5:30. It's only 5:12 p.m. now. But Jeannie Diva, vocal coach, singer extraordinaire, please call back in, because I want to talk to you, and I'm sure you want to talk to Cortez Alexander, which brings me to finally, we get to talk about Cortez Alexander. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him. I'm just going to run a brief bio. He is an incredible, fascinating individual. When I got an email from Stephen Levine of Grapevine PR, grapevine.com, I hope that's right, he sent an email to me and he said, you got to have this guy on the show, and he sent the bio, and I said, oh my God, this is going to be such an honor and privilege. I hope he'll even do my show. So he sent me the information. I said, oh God, you got to get him. He got him. So he is with us today. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him. He sent me this brief bio. Here's what it says. One night, while performing at Open Mic Night in Los Angeles, Cortez Alexander met Gene Reed, Brian Lane Green, and Lindy Robbins. Soon, the foursome would become known as the highly entertaining pop vocal jazz group, the Tonics. Eventually, they ended up selling out every night and garnering outstanding reviews. The Tonics performed together for 6 years, won numerous awards, and performed at Carnegie Hall. Woo! This is my first Carnegie Hall guest, so I'm totally excited. And this is where the group sang a tribute to composer Stephen Sondheim. Oh my God, now how great is that, okay? And that was broadcast on PBS. So, now one person whose attention was caught by the Tonics was none other than the legendary Liza Minnelli. Woo! We love Liza! We love Liza! And Minnelli, who was at the time looking to create a show with a local musical trio, fell in love with the vocal stylings of Cortez Alexander, and she insisted on snatching him away and bringing him along with her to perform. So, thus the Cortez Alexander Trio was born. And then the trio toured with her all around the world, the United States. They had so much success, recognition, and they performed with all kinds of talented people. I mean, icons, total icons like Sheryl Crow, Elton John, Bette Midler, Luciano Pavarotti, Melissa Etheridge. Oh my God, I'm sure there are tons and tons of others. How wonderful is that? I just like so thrilling. I can't even stand it. Now, after he got back from his stint with Liza Minnelli, he decided it was time to go solo. He wanted to do his own thing. So he moved back to California and he began writing his very first album entitled Swell. Love the word swell. He was able to work with this talented producer called McKay Garner, who I'd also worked with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Michael Bublé. And then Alexander was, he had started recording his debut album when he was driving back. He had just started recording his album when he was driving back from the dentist. Now, this is a wild story. Why do you hear this? So, Cortez is driving back from the dentist on Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. He sees a Rolls Royce pass by with Liza Minnelli in the driver's seat. Now, I drive up and down Santa Monica Boulevard, and I have never seen Liza Minnelli. I don't even see any stars. I live here, and I hardly see anybody. So he sees Liza Minnelli. Now, what are the chances? That is just total fate to me. I don't know. That is like kismet, fate, I don't know what you call it, but that's wild. Okay, so she's sitting in the driver's seat. So at the next light, he catches her attention in the rearview mirror, and they spend time walking up and down Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. And it was at that time that she got him again. She convinced him to go back on the road with her for a second time. He agreed, even though he had an album to finish. How could you turn Liza Minnelli down, right? It's like, oh, hell no, you can't be turning Liza down. That's unheard of. So he toured again with her for 3 more years in a show that eventually went on to become the Tony Award-winning, what? Liza's at the Palace. So that was recorded at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas in September. And I don't know for sure. We'll have to ask Cortez, but I know that they were having a DVD release of that. I did go on YouTube and I did catch a couple people who had, what is that called, pirated. They had their little video cameras and they had pirated, but you really can't see it. It's not really good copies. so you'll just have to buy the DVD. So now, because of all this traveling that he had been doing with Liza Minnelli, his album, Swell, took almost 3 years to complete. But he finally finished it. So, and since then, basically, we have heard on the street that it has been regarded as an inventive mix of R&B and jazz, and it has an electronic lounge subtext. And the album has, I think it's got six. It does. It has 16 tracks, and Cortez Alexander wrote 10 of them and played all the keyboards. And Helen Slater, remember Helen Slater? She was that gorgeous blonde who starred in Supergirl in that 1984 Supergirl. Well, I remember that because I'm all old and shit, but you know, you young people, just look it up on IMDb. But yeah, she had wrote two others. So that's basically the brief bio that I'm going to give you, and we're going to let Cortez Alexander tell you the rest himself. So he has been waiting patiently, probably his feet up, drinking iced tea, smoking a cigarette, possibly something else, but we'll hope cigarette or no cigarette at all. And we're going to introduce him now. Welcome, Mr. Cortez Alexander. I hope I didn't talk so much that you hung up or fell asleep.
Hi, Priscilla. How are you?
I'm here. I'm glad I didn't put you to sleep. I had to get through a lot of stuff, and I really appreciate you being patient. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I basically
I
know. I didn't give you anything to talk about. You can just hang up now. I just took all your material, right?
That's okay. I enjoy long walks in the park. I enjoy crafting and Cocoa Puffs.
And I'm sure you got to do all of those things while I just went through my spiel, right?
That's right.
Hey, listen. Let's start out. You just finished Swell. But I want to go back further than that, because I like to do things in chronological order. I'm like a weirdo. I like to do that. So now the Tonics, I went on YouTube and I watched a clip, and I said, oh my God, they sound so good. Oh my God, you guys were fantastic. So I found just one, or maybe I think I found two clips on YouTube. Is there any way, and I had a couple emails because I sent the clip out on my advertisements in my email blast. I sent it out and people said, oh, is there any way we can get a CD? So my question to you is, where can we hear songs from your old group, The Tonics? Is there any way we can still get a CD? Did you guys make a CD? What was happening with that?
We're on a couple of compilation things. We're on the Carnegie Hall CD. It's the one with the blue cover, the one that they recorded for PBS. And then we had the pleasure of doing a lot of those stage benefits for APLA, AIDS Project LA, and they made cast albums of those. So we're on a couple of those as well. But actually, it's very exciting right now, because while we're on the topic of the Tonics, we're actually going to do a couple of shows in New York. We're getting back together. This time we've got a new member, a new girl named Kathy Talbot, who you're not going to believe what comes out of her mouth. She sings so great. And we've all actually been friends for years and years and years, and have been promising to sing together. And somehow now the stars have lined up, and we just started rehearsal. So it's a lot of fun, and it's going to be a really exciting time coming up.
Well, when is this going to happen? Do you know where you're going to be playing? And
I do.
If not, where? Where? Give us the scoop.
We're going to be at Joe's Pub in New York, which you know, the public theater, the New York Public Theater. In March. So, that's the first one. That's a kind of a crazy thing the way that happened. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a gathering at my house, and Billy Stritch, who's Liza's musical director and pianist, who's a very good friend of mine, did a couple of vocal charts for us back in the day. And what happened was we all just happened to be here, but hadn't sung together in 10 years. And Billy said, "Do you remember that chart that we did?" And well, I said, "Well, let's just go around to the piano and stagger through it." And we stumbled through it and sounded just terrible. But we took a picture. Billy took a picture, and then he posted it on his Facebook. And the next day, there were 25 messages saying, "When are the Tonics getting back together?" And among them, I know, it was insane. And then among them was a producer named Rich Ehrenstein, who said, if you guys want to ever get back together, I'd love to produce you guys' show. So we all got together, and we got Kathy Taub, because Lindy's moved on, has become a very successful songwriter in her own right. And we said, let's give it a shot. So now here we are, bringing out all the old chestnuts, as they say.
I love it! Oh my God,
yeah,
isn't it just wonderful that, I mean, because obviously there are really heartwarming memories from that group. I mean, I know there must be, and for you to be resurging your career in that aspect, oh my God, that's got to be totally exciting.
The thing that's great about it for me is, you know, it as much as I'm proud of Swell and love the whole process of it, there's something about when you're singing with people that you love and that you've known your entire life, it's just a completely different experience. You know, when you're doing it by yourself, you're on your own and you're propelling the whole machine by yourself, and somehow when there's four of you, you know, it's four times better.
Now, why couldn't the Beatles have had your mentality? You're having the resurgence the Beatles never had. They weren't thinking like that. My God, you're like, the Tonics are going to be the resurgence of the Beatles for me. That's what it's going to be.
I would love. I hope so. Thank you.
Oh well, now you'll be posting that information in more detail on your website, correct?
Oh, are you kidding? I'm going to have my publicist working quadruple time.
Yeah, so just in case people might want to take his website down, that's CortezAlexander.com, CortezAlexander.com, CortezAlexander. I'm going to have to fly all the way there just to check that out. I hope I can get a red carpet seat, huh?
Sure you can. Absolutely. We'll do is when we're ready, we'll have Stephen call you and we'll come on the show and we'll sing for you. It'll be fun.
Oh, hell yeah! Woo! Now see, this is what I'm talking about here. What? Hey, guest in the future, take a tip from Cortez. He's offering things.
Yeah. How to book yourself before the hour's up.
Exactly. Hey, now when you were in the group, the Cortez Alexander Trio. Now, let's talk about that. Everybody's been emailing me, I want to hear stories about Liza. I love Liza. Okay, what was it like working with Liza Minnelli? I know you have some really funny stories to share with us, so give us some good ones. Give us some good ones.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you need more than an hour for that.
17 years. All right, I'm not even going to overwhelm you. Give us, maybe when you first met her, you know, or give us two stories, two good ones.
Let me think. Okay. I'll tell you one. When she recorded her studio album Gently, we went to Europe, just the two of us, to do publicity for it. I don't know why we didn't have a travel liaison or a road manager or anything like that at the time, but it was just the two of us, and I had a list, an itinerary of where we were going and what we were doing, and we went to London and France and all over the place. And we were in Rome, and we were supposed to fly to Paris, and we missed our connection.
Oh my God!
And we're in the airport, and we had her little dog, and we didn't know where our bags were. I guess we had to just hope that they made it to Paris. We're running around the Rome airport now, thinking, how are we going to get to Paris? Because the next flight wasn't until the next day. We had checked out of the hotel, and we had nothing. So, in true Liza fashion, it's just like her to do this. We were in the lounge, trying to figure out what to do. And we struck up a conversation with this man who was very, very nice. And he had, he looked very, very European and slightly older. And he had a girlfriend. I thought it was his daughter, but it was his girlfriend. She looked about 16 years old.
Aye.
You know, dressed to the nines and, you know, the jewelry and the high heels and the suede and the cashmere and the whole bit. And we were telling him that we missed our flight.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to Paris, too. I'll take you. And we're thinking, oh, no, well, you know, we don't want him to buy our tickets. That's weird.
Right.
And so we're saying, how can we reimburse you? And then he said, no, on my plane. I'm leaving on my plane. So we ended up on this guy's private plane. It turned out that the guy was the boss of like Formula One or the Grand Prix or some race. He was some very fancy race car guy with a beautiful G4. And the four of us just went on this guy's plane. And
isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now, isn't that nuts? You know, people just, you know, see, it's something about, you know, people are just, karma follows you. You either are aligned with the stars and fate is at your fingertips, or your ass can't get a bus in Cleveland to get to home. You know, nobody comes running up to me in a hotel. Oh, I lost my flight. Oh, come on, we'll fly you. That doesn't happen. You have the stars following you. And I don't mean literally like celebrity stars. I'm talking, your stars are aligned. Your shit is in a path, man. I mean, you're just a very lucky guy. Now, I don't know Liza Minnelli, but I'm very good at reading people's faces and their body language, and I've seen her on many interviews, and I could tell she is a trip. I mean, you could tell she is fun and outgoing and just whimsical, and to be with her, it probably is so exciting. You know, there's such an energy level because you just don't know, you know, what she's going to say or what she's going to do. That's what it seems like to me.
When the two of us are together, there's definitely an element of two people off their leashes. I'll definitely say that. But, you know, she's great fun. I love her madly. As a matter of fact, in New York, they had some big blizzard. I guess it was in 98 or 99. Some mm-hmm. gigantic blizzard, and she was having work done on her apartment. It had flooded. And rather than her staying in a hotel, she stayed in my apartment in New York for like 2 weeks. And I don't think we slept for 2 weeks. It was insane. It was just madness. And at the time, I had my apartment was in the basement, and I had a backyard with a fireplace, and I could play the piano all night long, and no one knew I was alive. So we would be banging and singing on the piano at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Cortez, you see this stuff on television. We normal, simple people, we see this, and this is like stuff you dream about. Oh, I want to do that. This doesn't really happen. That stuff's all scripted. But look, you are a perfect example. Look at you, hanging out in the damn basement, jamming with Liza Minnelli. My God, this is incredible.
I have to tell you, though, that I am absolutely very well aware that I am merely a guest in her life. You know, yeah. I mean, it's not really entirely my life, except for when I'm there. But, you know, one time we went to Paris, and I'll never forget it. We flew there on the Concorde and flew back on the Concorde. And when we landed back in New York, the limousine picked us up and dropped her off at home and then dropped me off at my apartment. And I remember checking my answering machine, because it was 11 o'clock in the morning, because it takes 3 hours. It was 11 o'clock in the morning, and I remember I had an audition on my voicemail for a voiceover. And it paid $250, and it was in a couple of hours. And I remember then sitting on the subway, going to my audition for this $200 voiceover, thinking, I just got off a Concorde and out of a stretched limousine, but I know that this moment of me on the number one train is real. This is real life. And I had to do a true reality check. So, you know, when you say question reality, I'm able to not only question it, but acknowledge it.
So. See that? Oh my God, that's so true. You know, you just don't, when you're around celebrities, I would imagine it's very easy, you know, when you're working with them, you're part of their life. It's just an integrated system. But as soon as your ass steps out the door, that's it. You could get splashed with the bus and there's nobody running to wipe your ass off. That's it. You're on your own. But that's funny because, you know, I'm very glad you said that, because it's not all glitz and glamour. I mean, you certainly have paid your dues. I mean, you take us back to how this all started. When did you decide that you wanted to be a musician, and how did you get from point A to, let's call Liza, point B?
I was a piano major at Juilliard when I was a kid, so I always had music. I always had music in me. But the way Liza figured into the equation was when the Tonics first moved to New York, we were doing 1 a.m. shows on a Monday night. We had just gotten there, and it was the only thing that they could give us. And it was this little room that sat about 60 people. And we thought, if we can just make enough money to pay the piano player, we'll be happy. We can say we did it, get it out of our systems, and you know, go home and resume our lives. Well, the first week we got about 60 people. The second week we sold it out. The third week we sold it out with a waiting list. And by the fourth week, you couldn't get in. So
wow.
now the owner of the club. This, I swear to God, this is true.
What club was
the owner
it?
Now says it was called 88 down in the village on 10th Street. So I don't think it's there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then the owner of the club says, "Okay, listen, you guys are doing great business. I'm bumping, you know, some fancy person at 8 o'clock on Friday. I'm going to give you the slot for 6 weeks. Do you want it? Yeah, we'll take it." So the same thing happened again. The first week Friday we sold out. The second week we got a review in the New York Post and the Daily News on the same day. Nothing, just raved, huge with our picture and everything.
Wow.
And that was the sixth week of being in New York. It was crazy. This was in October. Then do you know the theater director, Harold Prince?
Yes, Harold Prince. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he directed Phantom of the Opera and Evita and a bunch of things. His daughter came to our show and said, "I think you guys are great. Do you want to sing at my parents' Christmas party?" Okay, sure, let's go. Let's do that. That'll be fun. So it's the first week of December. We go to their parents' house at the beautiful townhouse on the Upper East Side of New York, and there is Liza and Lauren Bacall and Carol Burnett and Linda Lavin and Stephen Sondheim and all of these, like, all of these kind of people.
God, I bet you were dying!
Well, we're literally like four freaks off the bus. I mean, we didn't know what was going on. All we knew was that Daisy said, "We sing." So we sang, and everybody's sitting on the floor, you know, watching and listening, and they loved it. And then when it was over, Stephen Sondheim came up and said, "Are you the guy that does the vocal arrangements?" And I said, "Well, you know, we do them all together, but, you know, I sit at the piano and block them out a lot of the times." And he says, "Well, they're doing a tribute to me at Carnegie Hall in the spring, and Manhattan Transfer is not available, and, you know, I can't get, you know, like Boys to Men or whoever it was at the time that was popular. Are you interested and even available?"
Like, what?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think I can clear my schedule for you.
Yeah. And at that point, Liza had, you know, she had already come down to our show to see us a bunch of times, because when she read the views in the paper and we were making some noise, she said, "I got to go down and see what all the fuss is about." And she used to have salon nights at her apartment in New York.
Uh-huh.
On Saturday nights, you know, people would just go and stand around the piano and sing, except the difference was it's, you know, it's Tony Bennett and it's Janet Jackson and it's Madonna and it's, you know, people like that.
Chills. Oh my God. Talk about, now you know what you were just telling us. That, people, for my audience, that is what you call meeting the impresario. You ever heard that term? Well, Cortez Alexander just explained he met 1,000 impresarios at that gig. So, hey, you know, it paid off. Just you were just going there to do a birthday party?
Yeah, it was that. And we didn't, and the truth of it is like, as far as New York goes, we didn't even want to be in a singing group. The only reason we went to do it was because Brian, who was one of the original Tonics, got a job on a soap opera. And we were singing together here in California at this open mic. And every week we'd learn a song. And Brian now is in New York by himself. And he said, I miss you guys. Why don't you come out to New York and we can do a run of shows?" And we were like, "Why not? That'll be fun." And the only thing we could get was 1 a.m. on a Monday night, you know. Oh. Otherwise, we had to wait 6 months, and we were like, "No, let's just take it so we can say we did it."
Yeah! See, now that's the right attitude for all my musician friends out there and audience members. Do you see what Cortez did? And look where he ended up. Don't turn down those gifts. gigs. My husband is a musician. He's a jazz guitarist. He's phenomenal. He's like one of the best I'm not just saying that because I'm biased. I swear to God he is. But he takes every single gig. And you know what he says? You never know. He still is saying you never know when you're going to meet the impresario. That's his thing. He will take a backyard gig, you name it. He's right now, he just left to do a church gig. He doesn't have to do those. He does them for free, you know, to give back. But he will take every gig, and he always says, one day I'm going to meet the impresario. So, you know, and you did, and because you took the gig, you're like, what the hell, let's just try it. But do you know that a lot of musicians will turn their nose up at stuff like that, especially, I hate to say it, but in my experience, jazz musicians are a little picky, but you know what? You should be, I mean, you've got the right attitude, and look how it's paid off for you. Unbelievable.
Well, the other thing is I'm a big believer in, in the more you do it, the better you get at it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Really, truly, the more you do it, the better you get at it. When I did my first, I'll never forget the feeling of, like, really, truly thinking I'm going to throw up. My very first show with Liza when I had the trio 10 years ago, standing backstage thinking, I'm not going to live through this. And then thinking, like, in 15 minutes, this will be over and I can relax. Making all kinds of irrational promises to God. Please, anything. Just let me live through this.
Well, yeah, that must have been extremely nerve-wracking. My God. I mean, Liza Minnelli,
But now, hundreds and hundreds of shows later, afterwards, I go on stage with her like I'm crossing the street.
Exactly.
And that's only because I've done it so many times. So
exactly.
I'm a big proponent of saying, even if it's in the backyard, people are still watching you, and someone is still really listening. So if it's your backyard or Carnegie Hall, it doesn't matter.
That's right. Now, you, the second time when you hooked up with her, you guys did the Tony Award-winning Liza's at the Palace. Now, you did that at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Now, is the DVD out, or where can we get that? No, it's
we
not.
We just finished it. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago. We did 7 shows, and we filmed the last 2, and they're going to be released on DVD, I believe, in December. So you'll be hearing, I'm sure you'll hear when it comes out.
Okay. All right. But can we find out about that on your website as well? That'll be an announcement. I'm referring everybody to your website. That way they can find out, when things are coming out. And make sure that I'm on the list to get that too. And then I'll send out an email blast for all my fans that, of course, are going to be emailing me wanting to know when it's coming out. So that would be
absolutely. I'm on Facebook too, so you can find me there too.
Oh, are you under Cortez Alexander on Facebook? Just your name? Okay, fantastic.
Yep.
Cortez Alexander on Facebook, everybody. So look him up. Hey, you know what I want to do right now? So you finished. It took you 3 years to do your album Swell. I want to play a clip from that because it's 5:40 and we're going to be going off in 10 minutes. So I want to make sure that everybody gets to hear your wonderful voice. I know that you came off of the tour. I'm going to call it the tour with Liza. And you got to finally finish your album. It's called Swell. And let's hear a clip. We're going to we chose It's All Right because I really like that title. It's All Right. So, Ronan, if you're ready, can you please play one of the tracks off of Cortez Alexander's latest album, Swell, called It's All Right? Can we hear that, please?
Didn't think I'd ever laugh again. Now here am I being thought of so highly, and don't it feel
tickets, cause you know I'm buying. Just the two of us around the globe. Let's go.
Likes to say, how do you love that? Isn't that a great song?
Thank you.
Don't you? I mean, you sound really sexy. I mean, I saw a picture of you and you are really sexy, but you sound sexy too. Uh-oh. Oh my God, we have a call and, oh, I don't know how to get it, but I'm going to try. Hold on, Cortez. Let's see. How do we do this? Jeannie Diva's on the line and she called earlier and I swear to God, I don't know how to connect it. My husband is the computer whiz and I swear to God, I do not know how to do it, but I am going to try to hit this little button. Ah, hopefully she'll call in. I don't know what to do. I haven't mastered this Skype thing yet. We're doing the show remote, people. So Cortez is in his underwear at home and I'm in my underwear here. So so we don't know how to answer the damn Skype thing. So what the hell? So let's get back there. Oh, wait a minute. It might be. Oh, are you at 7? Okay, no, I think that's you. Never mind. Let's get back to you. So that sounds really hot, and I listened to a couple of the other ones, and right. I love them. Love them. They're just, you've got a mixture of everything on there. You've got love ballads. You've got that one, which is a more like dance tune. I mean, I was over here rocking, you know,
well,
rolling over. Yeah, what else do you have on there? I know you got love ballads. I only listened to three of them. So what else you got on there?
There's 10 songs. There's 16 songs. I wrote 10 of them. Two of them were written by Helen Slater. And then there's four covers. The B-52's Rome. I've got If I Only Had a Brain. And I've got Never My Love, The Association. And
I love that. That's one of my favorite songs, Forever My Love.
Yeah, Never My Love. That was the first one that we recorded. Yeah, I love the way it came out. McKay Garner, my producer, did a swell job. Pardon the pun, but he did a really, really great job on the production of that particular song. I love it.
Now, are you by any chance? Now, I know that you guys, when you hook up with the Tonics in March, you're going to be doing. You've already got your song set list for that. But are you going to be incorporating any of your songs and doing them doing them a cappella like that?
Or I might. You mean some of the songs from my record in the Tonic Show?
Yeah.
I may. The way we do our set is we will each person gets a complete solo. And all the rest are pretty much group songs. So
I
just actually yesterday was kind of thinking what I wanted to do as my solo, and I thought maybe I'll do Never My Love just because.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Fun. That's the one I was going to suggest because that would sound really good with the Tonics. Oh my God, we're so connected. We're so connected. We are in sync, and that is what I'm expecting when I come in March to Joe's because I want to hear the Never My Love with the Tonics. I'm just throwing it out there.
See, dreams can come true.
Oh, hot damn. Yeah. Cortez is making some dreams come true. You might be my impresario.
I may be. You never know. No, so there you go.
I can't sing a damn tune. Albert walks around with cotton balls in his ears, and he's like, that sounds good, honey. And then I see a cotton ball fall out of his ear. I'm like, you weren't listening to me! Oh, my God. So let me ask you, what is the swell, how's it doing? Is it doing good? I mean,
it's doing really well. I'm so happy.
I know you got great write-ups. And anybody who wants to hear more, you can go to cdbaby.com. I know you got your album on cdbaby.com, and you also have it on iTunes, right?
Yep, it's on iTunes and amazon.com. And I just a day or so ago, released another song called Somehow You Remain, just kind of like an added an added bonus. It's not on the CD, but it's like a single. So
okay, and that's on CDBaby.com. That's like a bonus they can buy.
Yeah, you can get it on iTunes and Amazon as well. So
woo! I hope you're making some cash. Because that album is hot, so somebody's going to spend some cash to get that. I'm telling you, it's really, really good. And I really love, it's very eclectic. I really like the arrangements that you have. I mean, I think that they're very diverse, and I really think your phrasing is really good. And for people who aren't musicians, his phrasing is really good. And, you know, I love songs where they add usually lengthy solos, but you know what? I was digging it anyway. I was digging it. People don't do lengthy solos anymore like Led Zeppelin, so, you know, it's what am I going to do? But I love, love, love your songs, and I suggest people get over to CDBaby.com and buy Cortez Alexander's. And who knows? You may meet him one day. You'll definitely meet him if you go to Joe's in New York. So we're going to close the show out with asking Cortez Alexander to tell us, let's be psychic and tell us, what does your future hold?
You mean aside from another mortgage payment? My future holds. My future actually holds rehearsal tomorrow at 4:30 with the Tonics. So that's what it holds.
Oh, good. And maybe a $250 voiceover coming your way. You still do voiceovers, right?
I do.
You do. So
yeah.
It's
like a side job, so it's good.
Oh, great. I got to hook you up with my friend Mark Cashman from he's huge in the voiceover business, and he hires voiceover people to do commercials and stuff. So email me and I'll hook you up, friend.
Okay,
and then maybe you can let me peek in on Liza the next time when we're in New York. Maybe she'll come to your show and I'll get to peek at her. You know, let's do
definitely
a trade here. Okay, so we really appreciate you so much coming on the show. I would be honored if you would come back maybe next year after, maybe to promote your upcoming show at Joe's. Would you
definitely
do me a favor and come back on my show in the maybe February? In February.
Definitely. It would be our pleasure.
I think that you and I would hit it off, because I'm dying to sit you on my knee and give you a nice knee ride, because you are so sexy, and not for, you know, sex, but you're sexy and you're cute and cuddly, and I just love you, and I'm a big buxom woman, and I think you'd be getting a thrill. So you keep in mind, I'm gonna be attacking you when we get to Joe's. So don't you worry, you got some bear hugs coming, and that's all I can give you for the show. I don't have
right,
a catch. Right?
Okay, great.
All right, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you. CortezAlexander.com. Thank you, Cortez. We'll see you. And thank you so much. Hey, tune in. Thank you for tuning in, listening to Cortez Alexander. Join us next week when our guest will be Corey Blake. He's the CEO and founder of WritersOfTheRoundTable.com, and he will be giving you a ton of information about what it is to be a writer and how to get your book published. And I'm going to be coming at you with some great information about pilot season. I'm going to tell you how to get in the mix and get in for pilot season medium. We're going to talk about network cable, network, how to do pilots for network cable, you name it. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to channel 900, free on demand, and select pop culture. Scroll down and you'll find the Horror Channel. So be sure to visit horrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.